Good morning, Times Square Church. It's wonderful to be here this morning, and I'm the missions director here. My name is Treg, and it's a joy, really, to be here and just to be able to celebrate not just 25 years of a church, but 25 years of what God has been doing through a church and through a group of people. And honestly, I was reading in my Bible reading this morning, and that little part, well, you know, Paul was taken out of the city and stoned, and I thought, the next verse was like, well, the next day he got up and went on to the next city. And I thought, no, this is guy that was stoned and left for dead. The disciples come and they just look at him and, you know, how that happens that he just stood up and walked in. But he walked over and went to the next town and kept on going. And honestly, you know, I've worked now with most of the people on the platform for about 18 years. And I have heard the stories. I've witnessed the difficulties. I've seen the pain. I've seen the hardships where it didn't seem like this project was going to go forward any farther, but you made it through, just like the song. You know, you've made it through. And that's God's faithfulness to all of us, to all of you. We've made it through. And he is doing something beautiful. And this is day three of our missions conference this weekend. And I'm telling you, the Friday night was a beautiful service of our pastors sharing the ministry, you know, that they oversee. But it ended with, I believe, what God is calling this church to in the next 25 years, and that is to serve. Pastor Carter shared from his heart of what God is challenging him with, which I believe is for all of us. A heart of servanthood, you know, to the people of this city, to the community that you live in. And that's something God has to work in us. It's not something that we can buy at a store and put on. It's something that he works in us. And if it's working in his heart, it needs to be working in ours. We are going forward. And then if you guys were here on Saturday, what a joy. I know Pastor Patrick mentioned it, but it was more than just a great time. I'm telling you that I was thinking, you know, I got to ask Elder Jerry to do some kind of a survey with the outreach leaders, because everybody's got a story of something that was going on supernaturally. I mean, even Douglas from Columbia was talking to a man that was just lives two blocks away from here, that is from Columbia. His wife had recently passed away, and he was having to consider moving his family back to Columbia. Now he's got a place to go to, you know. So, but I think that that's just one story of many. You know, like Pastor Carter, I think, introduced me to a couple of women that were here from Sacramento that's part of our online audience. You know, so we are not just this building as a church. We are far more, and God is faithful. It's like, you look at the quilt. For those of you that don't remember the missions conference that we made that quilt, what that represents is you. We had every country that wanted to from the church donated a piece of fabric, and then another group of women quilted it together, you know, which is no different than these flags that are from you as well, representing the nations that are, you know, represented here at Times Square Church. And, you know, if you even, you know, I did, everything kind of has a purpose, and that's why I'm sharing it. You know, like, the pictures are not just pictures we found online. These are projects that we work with, people that have been touched through short-term missions or ministries that we're working with. You know, the lobby is full of images of key moments that have been really pivotal in this church. And then on the second floor, if you look along the wall between 51st and 52nd, is a timeline that if you're like me, you're going to identify with something, because it starts at 1987, goes all the way to today, and somewhere in there, you will see where you came in and where you became part of an ongoing story, you know, that God is doing. So honestly, it's going to be, I believe, a great day today. We have something very special today for the 10 o'clock service, and then 3 o'clock service, we'll have a kind of introduction and a history of what the missions department does. And then at 6 o'clock, we have testimonies of lives that really have been changed, you know, by this ministry. So I hope you are here for the long haul. I know we have the services at the 3 and the 6 o'clock will be streamed today for those of you that are watching. So it's hopefully we are going to continue to be fed by the Lord for what he's looking to do in the future. So it's nice to have you. And we've got a video of the 25 years so far of what we've done that we would just like you to just stay seated and we'll watch that.
Stop and think about that for a minute, that it's possible for you and I to make God's heart glad, to think that God could look down in Times Square tonight in Town Hall, that because there's a drawing and a wooing in their heart, and they want nothing more than to please him. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to please the heart of God.
Pastor Dave had just started youth crusades, traveling all over the U.S. This was basically the result of the Cross and Switchblade book that came out in the early 60s. And he was traveling worldwide by then, just ministering to the youth, had great burden for the troubled youth of the world.
We're not going to lose this generation in the ghetto. We're not going to lose it in the dirty theaters. We're not going to lose it on college campuses.
From the youth crusades, then he went into a year of shutting himself in with the Lord. At the end of that year, in 86, is when we came to New York City for his annual street meetings, and the Lord called him back to New York to open the church here.
Early in 1987, Pastor Jim Simler at Brooklyn Tab, he made a public announcement that David Wilkerson would come into New York to start a church. And those of us who felt led can go over there and give him a hand in any way if we possibly can.
I was attending a church in Jamaica, Queens, and then I heard over the radio that Pastor David Wilkerson was coming to New York and starting a church.
We looked at theater after theater, and finally were able to rent, couldn't even lease, but rented at Town Hall. So we started on a Thursday night, and Pastor Dave had advertised in his newsletter. We had a mailing list of almost a million homes. So we had people come from all over the U.S., probably all over the world, for that opening meeting.
I walked in, and it seemed simple. What I noticed was there was this empty stage, and all of a sudden, when the service began, one young man walked out with a guitar in his hands. And I was used to a big choir. There was such an awesome presence, and everyone was taken up in a spirit of worship. And I started worshiping God, and I, you know, I was drawn, and something was happening. Something was really touching my heart.
We were all hungry for what God was offering us there. That's what drew us, the word that came forth. It was a very powerful word.
I'm going to stand here and deliver his word, and his word will pierce your heart if it's open.
The Spirit of the Lord was so prevalent in that ragged little house. Lives were changed, and many from that era are now in full-time ministry all around the world.
And those were tremendous days, people getting saved off the streets and bringing people in that lived in cardboard boxes and outreaches, and people coming from all over America to work with Brother Dave, and it was tremendous.
And then one day I came, and it was closed. I said, what happened? You know, why is it closed? And then I saw a sign that says, moving to the Nederlander.
The Nederlander Theater on 41st and Broadway was known as Crack Alley.
When I got off the train on 42nd Street and I walked down, I looked all around me, and they were crack addicts. They were young men on crack, young women selling their bodies.
A lot of homeless people were on the streets at that time. It was kind of scary trying to get to the church, actually.
I remember seeing like the XXX stores, and I remember my aunt and my mom just covering my eyes.
It was a scary scene, you know, crack addicts all over the street, you know. But once you walked inside the Nederlander Theater, you forgot what was outside. You totally forgot what was outside because of the glory of God was so strong.
It was just like the light in the midst of the darkness. Like you just felt the presence of God.
It was a time where we visibly saw the transformation of lives.
I was in the middle of a relationship. Not one that God intended me to be in, is a same-sex relationship. And I came here to do a security job at Broadway Dance Center. I bought a Bible on my way to work that day from 57th and Broadway. There used to be a bookstore there. And so there I am sitting at Broadway Dance Center reading my Bible, and somebody comes by and she said, are you a Christian? I said, well, I'm trying to be. I'm struggling. I want to get back to God. And she goes, well, there's this great church right down the street. It's at 41st and Broadway. It's the Nederlander Theater. And she gave me one of these original Dave Wilkerson invited to Times Square Church at the Nederlander Theater. And she said, there's service tonight. It was a Tuesday night, and I went there at 7 o'clock. And I'll just never forget the praise and worship it started there. The Holy Spirit just came upon me, and I cried out to God, God, if you don't want me to live this way, if you don't want to be in this lifestyle, I pray that you'd just bring me somebody, bring me a wife. And at that point, he spoke to my heart that I was going to marry my best friend, Lisa. And I went home. I ran home. It was raining out that night. I went back to Astoria, Queens, jumped in a phone booth, and called her and told her what God just found this wonderful church. Holy Spirit met me there, and we were to get married, God told me. And she replied that he had told her the same thing. Here we are almost 24 years later, four kids, all serving the Lord.
Well, Brother Dave knew that the Nederlander was not the theater that the Lord had for our permanent home, because the Lord had promised Brother Dave, if you will move to New York City and open a church in Times Square, I will give you a theater that will take your breath away.
He saw the need for a church to be established. So God showed him that.
We had just such an excitement of what was to come with this church. And the church went to prayer. And in a short amount of time, I remember that they found the Mark Hellinger Theater.
There was a play going on in it. And so we had to wait until that show closed. That was Legs Diamond. The congregation, while we were even at Nederlander, were praying that Legs Diamond would have a short run, because we knew they were in our home.
I had auditioned for Legs Diamond, and it was supposed to be a longest-running hit.
Legs Diamond was the play that was here. Shortest run, I think, or one of the shortest runs in Broadway history. I mean, they never trashed a play like they trashed that play. It was in all the newspapers, everything.
Just even as a church, I remember feeling excited, saying, wow, God, you answered our prayer.
We had access to the theater a week and a half or 2 weeks prior to opening the first service. And the stench of alcohol, the smoke in the theater, just the general dirt in the theater all had to be eradicated. So the church people came out from every avenue of society and helped get that theater cleaned up.
And I remember coming in and taking a toothbrush and doing the plastic on the steps and shining the brass rails with polish and everything. And it was like, you know, all these worker bees, you know, in the church on that Saturday to get it ready.
We went to the first service at the Mark Hellinger Theater, just being blown away of the beauty of the theater God provided for the church.
It was exciting. There was excitement in the air. This is the most glorious place.
And everybody was so grateful, just so humbled that God would release this building the way that he did and as quickly as he did. That legacy of prayer, that this would be a praying people, and that this would be a people that would count on God for everything, and that God would show himself faithful to us because we were believing him.
It was an exciting time because you knew you were home, and he was preparing this for a special work. People came, lawyers, doctors, Indian chiefs, the homeless, the destitute, everyone came and worshiped the Lord.
I was a full-blown crack cocaine addict.
I was never really taught about just a daily walking with the Lord.
Addicted to mostly anything and everything that anybody could be addicted to.
That was the time that I was looking for a church to belong to.
When I got here, I wasn't saved.
And from group home to group home, and then I ended up going to prison.
I was at one point in my career in show business making some headway.
I came into this place feeling very angry, bitter. I hated myself.
When I came home from school, I would be greeted by my aunts and uncles and my mom, who would also, they would all be sitting around a table with a mountain of heroin on it.
So I walk into the church, and it was a 3 o'clock service, and the curtain went up, and I remember thinking, this is so beautiful. Although in the beginning of the service, everybody was like standing at the altar and their hands were up and they were praying out loud. I'm like, this is kind of weird. But I knew to stay. And when that curtain lifted, the choir started singing, and the presence of God, it confronted me, it encountered me, and I remember just weeping, and I remember a still small voice saying, "You're home."
Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see.
I just came down to this theater. I mean, you know, talk about God going the extra mile. He just said, "Oh, I got to get a theater for Bill." I don't think it was just for me, but I was an actor, so I felt very at home.
I walked into the sanctuary and I began to weep. I was sobbing throughout the whole service, and that night when I got home, I really began to ask the Lord to show me what He was trying to reveal to my heart, and I began to pray.
My brother got saved, and he came to visit me with a few of his friends. And I remember he sat down and, you know, told me about Jesus with his friends, and they left. And I remember going back into the prison cell. I remember just being in prison and crying out to God and asking Him, "God, if You're real, please, I want this change."
I remember as soon as David Wilkerson got up to do the altar call, and I ran up to the altar call, and David Wilkerson stopped the altar call, and he reached down and he put his hand on my shoulder. And he said to me, he just said, the Lord just told me, God just told me that you're in so much pain. I'd like you to come backstage so that the pastors can pray over you."
I sat in my seat. A woman talked the entire service. I turned around. I gave her like the church eye because she was talking all through the service. I thought, how rude could she be? And then she finally leaned over to me. And she said, "I'm so sorry. My friend is visiting from Russia, and I'm translating the whole service for her." And I sat there like, oh.
You know, for the first time, I felt deep conviction. And I remember crying at the altar, and just impacted me my whole life.
And I went to the altar, and I got saved. I didn't know what it was, but everybody was so friendly here. And, you know, when you're not saved and you think that you're going to be judged by people when you come into this big, humongous church.
I was attending the children's ministry. They were located underneath the stage, and it was really hot down there. And the teacher was just talking about, you know, heaven and hell. And when she started talking about describing hell, and I was feeling the heat in that place, I knew that I didn't want to go to a hotter place than that. And so I gave my life to Christ at the age of 8 years old.
You know, I was still getting high, but I was sneaking down to Times Square Church. I used to come down here, and I used to go to the balcony, and I used to stay in the back because I had a mother that attended here. She attended here. So I didn't want her to see me. I didn't want nobody to know me to see me. So I would sneak in, I would hear the word, and then I would get out of here. I would come, and the word of God would be so piercing. And it would hurt so bad. But at the same time, it felt good. And I would leave here. You know, I'd be on my way to the train. I'd smoke my little L. And then I'd get convicted and I'd throw it away. I'd smoke my cigarettes and I'd throw them away. And then I would go back to the block. We'd drink, smoke, but I would be under heavy conviction. So I wouldn't even be high. I'd be sitting there like this hurt. And I remember coming home one day, and I was so excited. Because I told my wife, I said, "Baby," I said, "it's been a whole month. I didn't sniff no coke, nothing. I don't know what happened." And, yeah, I just fell in love with the Lord. It was over after that.
Just the presence of the Lord, the desire to lift my hands up. And I really didn't understand why, but He was just so good.
Pastor Dave and Gwen always had a burden for the what we would call the down and out. And at that time in New York society, homelessness was just rampant. He sought the Lord on what to do, how to feed the homeless, how to minister to them, how to reach them for Christ. And he felt impressed by the Spirit to sell one of his cars. He went over to Queens, found a big panel truck, then went to the fabricator and picked out the interior, and that became our Raven truck. And that ministry, of course, still continues today.
Pastor Dave would tell us, the Lord did not send me to raise up a congregational church, but he sent me to raise up individuals to send them out to minister to the needs of others and to love people.
You know, we used to help out wherever, whenever.
I think one of the first ministries I involved in here was on tapes.
One of the first things I did when I came to TSC working at with the altar call ministry.
I joined the prison ministry.
And I joined the choir.
I'm serving right now in the children's ministry.
Came to New Believers class.
Teaching in the Friday night Bible school.
It's the upper room ministry with the homeless.
Did like a summer internship at Timothy House.
Seniors ministry.
The ushers ministry.
I ended up joining high school.
So I've been ushering for 23 years now, and it's been a joy.
It's not by works of the flesh. The apostle says, it's by faith in Christ. All you have to do is believe, confess that he is Lord, that this Lamb of God, the blood that he shed, is what he claims it to be, the power to cleanse and heal and change your life and even give you the power to live right.
You know, God has been so in control that when Pastor David was getting a little old and he felt that God was raising up, you know, God was moving him on, you know, And his time was getting short. He had a foresight. God was speaking to him. So he prepared the young man named Pastor Carter. He began to prepare him years before he would actually take over the church. When Pastor David passed away, everything just kept going. It was as if he was still here.
You are called to the poorest of the poor, in places where nobody perhaps will go or has gone before. And you are called to invite them to an incredible banquet. You are called to the lame, the blind, the lepers, the dead, the maimed of our generation. You are to stand before them. God spoke clearly to my heart, and you are to tell them that a kingdom is coming, a banquet is being prepared for them. You are to tell them their sins can be forgiven. You are to reach out in every measure that I've enabled you to reach out. And you are to tell them that even in their poverty, they too are to begin to reach out to their neighbors. You are to tell the Christians to begin to reach out to the Muslims. You are to tell them all that religion without compassion is bankrupt. And God says, I will move and I will save by the thousands. And surely we've seen that in the last few years.
God grabbed my heart from the very first mission trip. It just really solidified my walk with him.
First mission trip was to Haiti back in 1990. I don't think we had a full-fledged missions department back then.
Oh, I can never do this, a missionary. And God spoke to me and he said, you don't even have money, Lisa, but I want you to go up to the missions director. And so I walked up to her and I said, hi, my name is Lisa Cammie. I have no money, but God told me to sign up for this trip and he's going to provide all the means. I went to 3 mission trips in that 1 year.
God's a practical God. I'll have enough money for Russia, and I'll have the vacation time for Russia. So that's how I wound up going to Russia.
The doors had not been open for ministry in Cuba, and Pastor Dave prayed.
I want you to pray with me about Cuba. You can't go to Cuba. You can pray for Cuba right now. We can go by faith, and we can take authority in Jesus' name.
Cuba was, it was a very, very powerful mission trip.
When we went to Nigeria, I remember standing on that platform and we had just witnessed God just stopping the rain, which for me was like something out of the Bible. I was like, you stop the rain!
I remembered when I went to Burundi, taking this long trip up to see the Twa. We came up with food and supplies for them, and I remember them breaking out in dance and song. Later on, the translator had told us they were giving glory to God, and we were able to be an extension of God's hand. To me, is just incredible. The joy that they had, I will never forget.
I felt the Lord leading me to Israel. However, the Lord shifted my plans, and the Lord sent me to 125th Street, Harlem, USA, and we've been there for more than 10 years.
Pastor David, one time back in 97, 98, sharing, I think a lot of you should go home to your home countries and preach the gospel there. It was back home to the Philippines. And we started medical missions. And we were able to visit the homes, and they were able to come to the church. And now these very same people are now serving the Lord. They are leading Bible studies. Their homes are also child cry feeding centers. And it's amazing. I'm just very encouraged at what the Lord is doing.
I heard the Lord speak to me clearly and say, Luzvet, I'm calling you to full-time ministry. And I just thought I was going to be sent to the mission field. I thought I was going to go to Africa somewhere. I continue to pray and believe God. I started having a desire to work, wanting to be Pastor Patrick's assistant. And I was 15 at the time. 10 years praying for this position, and today I've been working with Pastor Patrick for 6 years, and God answered my prayers.
Times Square Church Roxbury is Times Square Church's first satellite campus. It is a satellite campus, so we stream in the services in the morning, and in the evenings we also have either streamed in or our own local home services. We've brought in ministries from Times Square Church. We actually have the Raven Ministry. We have the Gate now started out there. We have an incredible children's ministry. It's a full-blown church at this point. It's a wonderful congregation, and God is really moving.
I'm excited about the next 25 years.
In some capacity, I know God is using this church, whether it's to feed the poor with other churches, whether it was prayer in the square, giving us a hunger to reach beyond the walls of this church.
What will really keep you and I is the heart of Christ beating in the very center core of this church. That's what's going to keep this church for the next 25 years. I'm really thankful for the previous 25. We've had our successes, our struggles, our battles. We've learned to do things better in some cases. How much more if people start occupying the prayer meeting in New York City? People start coming to their churches and seeking God.
Can't wait to see how he's going to bring Thursday night and the main sanctuary on Tuesday night. And God's just going to put everything together to pray for souls.
I've never seen so many people wanting to know about God. We just need to open our mouth, and God will fill it.
The walls are going to come down, and we're going to reach the city. And I look forward to that. I look forward to the future for that.
Praise God. That was awesome to see all that again. And I'm amazed at how young Pastor Teresa and I have stayed in comparison to everybody else in the video. When brethren dwell together in unity, the Lord says that I send a blessing, and it starts at the head and it flows down to the borders of the garment, which is, in a sense, as far reaching as God determines this church should be. I thank the Lord for you today. I thank God for over 100 nations gathered here. I don't know of anywhere else in the world that this could happen but in the Church of Jesus Christ. We're all various cultures, people from different levels of society come together, and it is an amazing thing to come into the presence of the Lord and experience His presence the way we do. And now we have an online church that I'm becoming more aware of all the time. As we walked through the streets yesterday, and I met different people from California, some from North Carolina, other places who have come in for the 25th anniversary, they said, you don't know us, but we're part of your congregation. We meet in homes, they meet in apartments, they meet in other buildings, they stream the service in there. On a typical Sunday morning, there are 1,300 various locations throughout this country that are live streaming the service. And for those that are live streaming today, we're going to stay on all day today. for you so you can be part of the 25th anniversary here with us. And we weren't able to get a hold of everybody concerning the baby dedications this morning that were canceled. So some people came from out of town with their children. And so for those who did, please see me backstage after the service today. And I'd love to personally dedicate your babies and pray for them. And thank God for you coming to be part of this. I want to read something to you before I introduce Pastor David Davis, who will be sharing with us this morning. And it's from Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning at verse 16. Something the Lord put on my heart this morning when I was spending time with him. And beginning at verse 16, the Lord said this to his people of that time. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you will write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days might be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware to give to your fathers, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereupon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Now this is the 25th anniversary of Times Square Church, and it's important for you and I to recount our history. In recounting the history of what God has done and what God has spoken to this church, firstly, we reaffirm our purpose, why we are here, why God established this church, where we are going. And it will also help to refresh our vision, give us clear eyes for the future. I thank God with all of my heart for the past 25 years. But we're not going to make the mistake of camping there. We're not going to build a tent on the Mount of Transfiguration, because there is a valley just below it, and there are people that need us in this city, this generation, this society, and everywhere the Lord will send us to go. And however he chooses to give exposure to this pulpit and this church and this worship throughout the world, that will be his choice, not ours. But wherever we go, there will be a vision that never changes, that there is a gospel. It is for all people. Through Jesus Christ, all men and women and children can be set free. They can have life, the freedom from the bondage and the penalty and the power of sin. They can come into the fullness of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They can become part of a body of believers on the earth called the Church of Jesus Christ, and look forward not just to what God will do through them, but look forward to that blessed day when that trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and we who are alive and remain are going to be gathered together with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When Pastor David was called of the Lord to found this church in New York City, there were two specific reasons. Number one was to warn this city and to warn anybody who could hear about a day of impending judgment that was coming. It was coming upon not just New York City, but it was going to come upon the whole world. And we were to be prepared and ready. And we were to find as many people as we can and bring them the message of Christ and see them brought into the kingdom of God, to warn of an impending judgment and to gather a remnant. The Lord told him, if you will worship uninterrupted, I will come. Can you bear witness to the fact that that has been 25 years in this church? In other words, God told Brother Dave, if you will stay away from the microphone and let the people worship, I will come. I will walk in the midst of you. And folks, you and I know that. The strangers come into this house and begin to weep because there's nobody here pushing you to worship. There's nobody talking when all you want to do is lift your hands before God. We spend the first 40 minutes or so every service and we just lift our hands and uninterrupted come into the presence of God. And that's what the Lord told Brother Dave. If you will stay away from the microphone and let the people worship, I will visit the church. Secondly, he said, if you will honor Israel as a congregation, I will bless you. For I bless those who bless Israel. And we have had the privilege as a church of being part of some of the work that's been done in Israel. And David Davis and his wife Karen are the first people who were sent out from this church. And they went out to Israel. It was really only befitting that that should be the first place that somebody who leaves Times Square Church goes. And that was very significant to us. We have partnered with them and we're looking for ways that we can have a deeper partnership together for the blessing of the people of Israel in the future. And thirdly, the Lord told Brother Dave to have communion in this church and have communion on a regular basis and don't let it become just a rote, but let there always be a reminder to the people of the sacrifice that was paid so that you and I can have this fellowship together. And let it be a reminder of the cleansing and the strength that is available to all who are willing with an honest heart to come into the presence of God. Everyone can come into the kingdom of God. Everyone can walk with God. All it requires is an honest heart. God said to Abraham, when we read it in the King James, he said, be ye perfect. And of course, you and I know we can't do that in ourselves. But when we look at it in the original text, the Lord was saying to Abraham, be honest with me. Be honest. That's all I require of you. Praise God. I thank the Lord for honest people, don't you? In Times Square Church, we don't have to play games. We are what we are. If we're struggling, we're free in this church to say so. Nobody's required to put on a plastic face on Sunday morning. Nobody in the congregation, nobody in the staff. The only thing that God requires of us is honesty. If you're going through a bad day, say so. No plastic smile is required in this house, and I thank God for that with all of my heart. We are called to be compassionate one to another, to serve God and to serve one another, and ultimately as a body to serve the city that we find ourselves in. And now the higher calling that God is placing upon us is to be a servant to the churches of New York City, as well as to the people of the city. And the Lord is going to teach you and I how to do that. We're moving into days that are going to make us sing and laugh and dance in the streets. We're about to experience something in New York City so far beyond you and so far beyond me that not even a fool would dare touch the glory. Something that you and I know that we could never do. I live and believe that I will live to see the day when churches in this city will be filled to capacity with people seeking God. Nobody even has to be leading it. God himself is going to visit, and there will be a sweep of mercy in this city because he has a people who are praying. Not just this church, there are other churches praying. There's a praying people standing in the gap in this city. And though judgment may one day come, mercy always triumphs over judgment. I believe that with all my heart. Today we have the privilege of doing all three things that the Lord told Pastor David were important to him. We've worshiped today without interruption and experienced one more time that blessed presence of the Holy Spirit moving among us and speaking to us, causing joy to come into our hearts and sometimes tears to our eyes. We have the pastor of one of the most pivotal churches in all of Israel today coming to share his heart with us in just a moment. And when Pastor David Davis finishes speaking today, we're going to go to communion together. And he and I are going to lead this communion service as a sign of the bond that will always be between Times Square Church and the nation of Israel and the people of God in Israel. We're going to begin by showing you a video It's only 3 minutes long of some of the work that's going on in Israel today. Then Karen Davis, Pastor David's wife, is going to come. It seems odd for me to say Pastor David is going to be standing here with me, but he is today. I love that. I love the thought of that. And Karen, I love watching Karen worship. I do. It reminds me of a little girl that's just been brought to FAO Schwartz and told you can have anything in the store that you want. It's that kind of worship, and it just makes you want to get up and dance to see the love in her heart for her God and the love of God for her. And I want to encourage you, once we've done communion, we're going to sing a little bit in this church. Praise God. Let's take a look at the video, and then Karen will come and lead us in song.
When we came here, we knew that, like in the days of the children of Israel coming into the land, they were commanded by the Lord to take back the high places and tear down the altars of Baal and the false altars and the false idolatry. And so we believe we've come back to claim one of the major, significant, prophetic high places in Israel, Mount Carmel, in the last days.
As Jews and Arabs, I mean, God has really needed to do something in our hearts. I came here with a great burden for my own people, for the Jewish people. And the Lord quickly impressed upon me that whatever we were going to do in this land, that we were to be here as His ambassadors.
Ephesians chapter 2 became like life verses for us, that Jesus had broken down the wall of division between Jews and Gentiles and created in Himself one new man from the two, thereby making peace. And so we had this tremendous vision and burden to come to Israel and start a rehabilitation center for Jews and for Arabs. Brother David Wilkerson came back to New York to start Times Square Church. We went to the first meeting he had, and the Lord spoke to us that we would be part of that work.
There were teams of people that David Wilkerson was sending out on the streets to minister to drug addicts and homeless people, and this really gripped my husband's heart.
And those were tremendous days, people getting saved off the streets and bringing people in.
And I began to see my husband changing before my very eyes.
I took Karen to Israel in August of 1988, I believe it was.
And from the moment I landed, I cried for 2 weeks. I mean, I knew I had come home, and I was destined to be here. And my husband knew it also. And we also discovered on that holiday that there was a serious drug problem in Israel.
We told David Wilkerson what was happening. He said, "This is God, you know." And then he brought a message. This was in August of 1988, right after we got back from Israel.
My message tonight, the joy of spending. There is a joy of the Lord that you can enter into only through spending.
The message was about spending all, of giving our very best to the Lord and the joy that there is in serving Him.
And I knew that this was a message for me and Karen, that it was a confirmation.
That night, my husband was sitting out in the audience, and I'm up in the choir loft, and both of us came from where we were and answered that altar call, and we knew that the Lord was saying, "I'm going to send you."
We're standing at the place where it all began. We're on Mount Carmel. We became citizens of Israel, and we came to Mount Carmel to start a rehabilitation center for Jews and Arabs together, the one new man of Ephesians chapter 2.
When we opened our home to begin this Bible study, and it was people that were interested in helping drug addicts and alcoholics, but also there were a lot of hungry people in the Haifa area, and they just wanted the word of God. They wanted to worship. And so maybe we started with 15 or 20 people, but before we knew it, the house was overrun. We had maybe 50 people piled into the kitchen and the living room and the porch and the bedrooms, and we suddenly realized we had a congregation right in front of us.
But that's where I met Peter and Rita Sukahiro. Rita was coming to meetings. Peter was traveling in those days a lot. He was a businessman.
There was a small Bible study in their home, and we went a couple times and began praying with them. And I remember in the spring of 1991, we began to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us that we should start together a new congregation. God gave us a vision of what this mountain was all about. From the Bible, we saw the story of Elijah confronting the false prophets here on Mount Carmel. As we read that account in 1 Kings 18, we saw that it was a national awakening that God wanted to bring through that confrontation.
And so we believe we've come back to claim one of the major, significant, prophetic high places in Israel.
This is the great apostle Paul, the Jewish rabbi, writing.
And I understood as a messianic Jewish worship leader here on this mountain that our worship, the Lord said to me, our worship needed to be characterized by the shout of victory, by the sound of victory.
The ministry started to grow, and it's amazing when I look at all the branches of it. The Lord gave us a word a long time ago that He would give us the upper springs and the lower springs. And the upper springs is here, of course, the worship center. Then we have these two buildings here. One of them is our women's shelter. One of them is our ministry center where we do teaching and so on. One of the lower springs is House of Victory. It's right down at the bottom of the mountain and right in central Carmel. That's Beit Yedidiah, the house of the Lord's friend. And now we have a Hebrew language congregation there. We started an Arab language congregation there. We have conferences and bed and breakfast and so on.
It's a very exciting time. And this wave of understanding about Israel is still just growing. We're just at the beginning.
These 22 years, when I look back on it, when we came here, we didn't know anything. I mean, we didn't know the language. We didn't know the culture. We were on this incredible learning curve.
We've lived through wars, we've lived through terror bombings, suicide bombings, threats of war, the challenges just even of everyday life. But no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And what He's done in the years that we've been in Israel has really been beyond what I could have imagined. Wow, that's the first time I'm seeing that video. I'm just overwhelmed with what we've already seen and heard, and just what an awesome privilege it is that God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. When we sang this morning, I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. Lord, thank you, Lord, for taking the veil away from us, oh God, and seating us with you in heavenly places, oh God. Lord, our hearts are just filled with gratitude. And we want to thank this church, everyone here, for standing with us all these years and helping us to run the race with endurance. And that's what we're all doing. And we will make it to the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're here to testify. We're here to testify that the Lord is our strength, and He is our song. He's become our salvation. Hallelujah. And He is faithful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the joy set before Him. We can run the race as Jesus did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We've set you before our eyes, and our hearts will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Lord, you are the lifter of our heads, and we lift your name today. Lord, you sent us to the high places in Israel to lift up your name. That's the only reason we're there, Lord, is to declare your glory and to lift up the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Hallelujah.
I never know when she's finished. And don't touch the glory, amen? Especially when it's on your wife. It was right here where David Wilkerson, the leaders of the congregation, prayed over me and my wife as we knelt here 23 years ago. And he prayed that the Davises would be the first fruits from Times Square, but this congregation would be a sending church to the nations of the world. And he said, the gospel is to the Jew first, and also to everybody else. And as I stand here today and look at all these flags and all these wonderful people I've met since we've left, and just people serving the Lord all over the world that came out of a vision that the Lord gave a man at this place called Times Square Church. When we were sent, you know, the word of the Lord says, God said to Abram, leave your country and your people and go to a place where you don't know. And so we went out into the unknown in many ways. And we didn't know that after we got there that the Soviet Union would collapse. And we were swept in with the Russian wave in 1989 and 90, that we would get an old building on the top of Mount Carmel that had been abandoned, and all the missionaries that were in Israel had left because the Gulf War was about to start with Saddam Hussein firing his missiles at us. So my wife and I were living in this old, deserted medical mission that British people owned that had been there for most of the 20th century. And it was a Saturday morning. There had been missiles coming in the night before. We'd run through the night putting on our gas masks, getting into our bomb shelter. And I was sitting on the porch looking at the port city of Haifa, which is at the foot of Mount Carmel. And there was a Saturday morning. We didn't have a congregation. We didn't have a car. We didn't have a fax machine. I didn't know what a computer was. But we had a promise from the Lord. Hallelujah. And in that place, the Lord had spoken to us that he was going to raise up this rehabilitation center that we'd been sent to start to Jews and Arabs alike. And many people in the land, the leaders in the land, Jews and Arabs alike, says you can't work with both people groups. And I said, well, I know I can't, but he can. Because my Bible says he broke down the wall of division. He's already done it. We just need to believe it and walk in it. Amen? So for 21 years, Jews and Arabs have come off drugs there, and the house is full right now. It's called House of Victory. But that's Saturday morning, as I sat there looking at the port city of Haifa, reading my Bible, I happened to open my prayer journal. And the prayer journal, I happened to see this dream that I wrote down when I had been at Times Square Church some years before. We had all-night prayer meetings down on Friday nights downstairs, and all. It was wonderful. But I had this dream, and in the dream that I was reading in Israel, which I had had back in New York some years before, in the dream, David Wilkerson and myself were standing up on the top of one of the Twin Towers. And as we stood there, there was this huge buffet of the most fabulous-looking food I've ever seen. Colors and harmonies and aromas, just incredible food. And David Wilkerson was sort of had his arm around me and was saying, here, try this, David. Then he would go, here, try this, David. And he was feeding me with all this fabulous food. Now, I knew what that represented, the food that I was getting at Times Square, the rich word of the Lord that comes forth in this place. But then, in the dream, and I'm reading this in Haifa, in the middle of a war, and in the dream, the hand of God literally came down on me and started to turn my head, and the Lord said, where do you think I want you to work, serve me? And I looked down from the World Trade Center, and I said, Manhattan, I guess. And he turned my head,
And all of a sudden, in the dream, as I'm looking at Haifa Bay, I see what I thought was San Francisco Bay. And I told my wife after the dream back in New York, are we going to San Francisco? What is this all about? And as I looked up, Haifa Bay looks just like San Francisco. It was the same camera angle. We were exactly in the right place the Lord had taken us. And we didn't know that Haifa is a twin sister, is twin city with San Francisco. But the food that we received at Times Square, when this church began, well, the hand of the Lord came on my wife a lot when this church began. One time we were at Town Hall, first time we heard Brother Dave speak, and here was a man with an uncompromising message of the power of the gospel that was mixed with mercy. This was the man who was uncompromised in the declaration of the Bible, who cared about the broken people out on the streets. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I was saying to the Lord, I'm getting involved with this. Karen was sitting in the chair at Town Hall and started to weep. On the way home in the subway, she couldn't stop weeping. People were looking at her. It was getting embarrassing. And so finally, I said, honey, what is it? She said, the hand of God is on me. I said, okay. So when Times Square got the Nederlander, we went there to the first meeting. We're sitting there. A guy that I had prayed for on the streets came to the altar call. Brother Dave put his hands on him, took him up on the stage and said, we're going to put you in a program. And I sat there weeping that I was watching people's lives being changed for all eternity. And I had been an actor who worked in Broadway theaters. In fact, I came to the Tony Awards in this theater, believe it or not, many, many years ago. And the Lord took me out of that world. And I said, I'm going to be involved with this man who cares about the street people and preaches the uncompromising word of God, and people get their lives changed forever. It's not about fame and fortune and all the rest of it. So Karen was weeping again in the chair. By this time I'm weeping because I'm saying, honey, this is our church. I'm getting it. And I was already going on the street with the guys on Saturday. So I said, come on, let's go. They're turning the lights out. They're going to lock us in this place. And she said, I can't get up. Right? She said, I can't get up. I said, what do you mean you can't get up? Get up. We've got to go home. She said, I can't get up. She's weeping. She's like welded to the chair. So finally, I'm like yanking her out of the chair, trying to get my wife out of the chair. And she said, oh, we're never going to meet the pastor. This is going to be big. And so I said, come on, honey, they're locking this place. So we walked into the lobby, and we walked straight into David Wilkerson and Gwen Wilkerson, face to face like this. And he says, hi, I'm David Wilkerson. I said, hi, I'm David. He said, he looks at me and he says, you're hungry for God. I didn't know what to say about that. But he said, what do you do? I said, I'm an actor, a director, you know, run a performing arts program at Fordham University, Lincoln Center. He said, oh, can you help me set up this theater? I don't know anything about theaters. I said, well, okay. He said, how about Friday morning, 10 o'clock? I said, okay. And all of a sudden, I'm working with David Wilkerson, and we're walking around Times Square, and we're putting the curtains up and all. And all of a sudden, I have this father in the faith that I didn't even know I needed. I needed a spiritual father, a mentor, and he started mentoring me. He was so precious, and he even made me be the sound man. Now, I don't know anything about sound. Later you said, I was testing you, David. I said, well, it was a test. I'd be raising my hands in the back of the church, praising the Lord, and the microphone would screech, and everybody would turn around at me, and I'd go, oh, excuse me. So Karen started typing his newsletter. He hired Karen to type his newsletter. And in those days, the office was up on about 68th and Broadway. And Barbara Macri worked there, and Sister Gail and Gwen Wilkerson. So my wife was being surrounded by these godly women, you know, typing the messages of David Wilkerson that he gave her, handwritten notes that became his newsletter. And He takes her up there that night and said, this is where it would be. We had dinner and we went over to the office. And he says to me, here, you need this. He took two shopping bags. He filled them up with books from his library. He said, you need this. It's Miller's history. That's the best. Church history. There's this. There's this. Here, you need T. Austin Sparks. You need this. You need this. And I walk out of David Wilkerson's office. My wife is starting to work for him, and I've got a Bible school in two bags. Hallelujah. You know, when I was called into ministry, he confirmed it. I quit my job at Fordham University at Lincoln Center, 9 blocks from here. I wrote a resignation letter. So I was having dinner with Brother Dave, and I said, can I read you my resignation letter, and maybe you could give me some advice? He said, let me read it. So he's reading it, and I'm sitting there eating, wondering, what's he think of it? He looks at me, and he says, you want it straight? Listen to me, church. That was one of the beauties of that man. He told it straight. And that's one of the beauties of Times Square Church. You come here, you will hear the straight word of God. It's sad to say in our travels around the world, there are a lot of places that don't teach the straight word of God anymore. So he said to me, you want it straight? And I said, yes, sir. He looked at me and handed it back to me. He looked at me with those eyes that look right through you, you know. And he said, it's too long. It's too preachy. Just tell him what happened to you. Do it in one page and pray the Lord will, you know, open a door to testify and pass the salt. The interview was finished, you know. So I did that. You know what happened? It opened the door to the president of the university. All these people I was witnessing. It was wonderful what happened. As we left the restaurant that night, after he said, do you want it straight? We said goodnight. I started to walk to the subway. He walked into his apartment. We were up on Broadway in the 60s. He calls me and he says, David? I turned around and said, yes, sir. He said, don't forget to ever thank God for your new heart. It's a word for all of us. I started crying. He's gone. I'm walking down Broadway, tears pouring down my eyes with my new heart. Hallelujah. And I want it straight, and I was going to try to walk the straight and narrow, not the broad way to destruction. And I walked through all those theaters, some of which I used to work in, and I was free of all of that. Hallelujah. I praise God. We have many, many teachers, but we have not many fathers in the faith. And this man, I'll tell you, fathered me. He even bought me a couple of suits one time. You know, it felt like I was a little kid with my dad, and I bought the collar stays. I paid $1, but he paid for the suits. Right? When Times Square moved into this theater, Legs Diamond, that awful play that we had prayed against, all the scenery was being... By the way, the star of Legs Diamond went on a talk show on television and said, God closed my show. And he did. Yeah. His name was Peter Allen. He was gay and he died of AIDS. I mean, it was really tragic. But the whole city was talking about what a church has taken over this theater. The union stagehands were breaking up all the scenery from the Legs of Diamond show, and it was all being thrown out onto 51st Street. In comes David Wilkerson and Gwen and a few other people. I happened to be with them. Barb was probably there. I don't know who all. And David and I happened to be standing down here, and the union stagehand foreman, there was a big false proscenium around this proscenium here. A proscenium is a frame. And it was scenery. It was hot pink or something, I think. And the guy says, hey, can we leave this? And Brother Dave was standing down there, and he says, it all has to go. I'm telling you, it's been a word for me ever since I heard it. It all has to go. It's the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. It's the power of God to full, total salvation. This church is founded on the word of God. that food that I was eating in that dream. We now have had that building for 21 years. And we tried, you know, Brother Dave came out to visit us once, and I showed him the House of Victory, the drug rehab. I said, "You want to come in and meet the guys?" He said, "I don't want to just meet them. I have a word for them." He said, "I still remember it." He sat down with those men and poured it, and they had read his books and all that, and they were very, very touched. When we built our worship center up on the top of Mount Carmel, it opened in 1998. Many, many people from Times Square came out and helped us build that place. It took us 3 years to build it. We used almost voluntarily. Praise the Lord. Groups would just come. And so when we finished building it, Brother Dave came out to dedicate it. He came up there and looked at this place. Didn't say much. Took him back down the mountain. We're going to take him to his hotel. We're on Mount Carmel. And it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought he was going to rest because, you know, he had jet lag and he was going to preach 2 meetings the next day to dedicate our building. We're driving down Mount Carmel by the Carmel Forest. Right now there are missile launchers there that have just been installed facing toward Iran. That's what was happening when we left Israel a couple of days ago. But we're driving down the mountain. There's the woods. And he says, "David, can you pull over here and come back and get me in 3 hours to leave him in the woods?" And Gwen's in the car. So I said, well, yeah, sure. Here, you take a bottle of water. And he had a Bible. And he said, "Okay, yeah, come back and get me at 5 o'clock. So I went down to the city, took his wife to the hotel and so on. 5 o'clock, I come back to get him. He comes out of the woods with his Bible. He said, "Thank you, I got what I need." This man was seeking the face of God, of what he was supposed to say to our congregation. Many preachers wouldn't do that. They're tired, they're jet-lagged, they'll check their computer and find some notes or something. He had the word of the Lord, and that night at the evening meeting, it hadn't rained in Israel for 5 months. Just like now, it just started to rain when we came over here. We have drought all summer long. And he proclaimed that God was going to judge America and America was going to have one last chance. There was a tremendous clap of thunder and lightning and rain came down on the skylight over our altar. And people started screaming and he even went, "What's that?" It was like the fire of God had returned to Mount Carmel through this preacher that preached the whole counsel of God. He has been such an example to all of us that have known him. When he passed away, a friend of mine, a wonderful man of God, older fellow, he said, "That man, David Wilkerson, he drank from a deeper well." Friends, we need to drink from a deeper well in these days. We need to drink from a deeper, deeper well. When I come back to this place, I'm so blessed. The Lord told David Wilkerson, was talking with the Lord one morning and said, he told me that the Lord said, "What do you want? You want a revival at Times Square? Do you want people to come down and all fall down and start manifesting? Or would you like a continual, consistent reviving of the Holy Spirit?" And he said, "That's what I want." And I'm telling you, every time I come back here, it's like Ezekiel 47. The river is flowing from the sanctuary, which is the cross. The river of God is in this place. And you don't want to be in just to your ankles or just to your knees or just to your hips. You want to get all the way in and be filled with him day after day after day after day. Amen. Hallelujah. And you will be some of those trees planted by the rivers. Those trees bear fruit every month. The leaves of healing for the nations. That's what this church is all about. It's gone all over the world, but you need to come to the river. Every one of you that is part of Times Square Church, you need to have a deeper well to drink from. The founder drank from a deeper well. That's why the Lord used him so much. Hallelujah. How many of you know you need to drink from a deeper well? Just stand up. Those of you that raise your hands, let me pray for you from here. Lord, I pray for everyone in this place. They will be so thirsty. They will desire the river of God. They will desire the life of Jesus in more
greater measure than they've ever had before. Lord, I ask you to do it. The Spirit and the bride say, come. He who is thirsty, come. He who desires, come. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you that you will do something in these few moments right here that we will be thirsty for a deeper well of who you are. Just like Jesus told that Samaritan woman, water springing up into everlasting life. Lord, speak to everybody in this place. Speak to everybody in this place to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, he's here today. Why don't you put your hands down? Is there anyone here who does not know him, that wants to know him? Anybody? The Lord's speaking to you. You come back and see us at the end of the meeting. Hallelujah. Pastor Carter, I am thankful for everything this church has done for us. Thankful for Brother Dave and Sister Gwen. And I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for you. The mantle that God has put on you. I thank you that you heard, you obeyed, and you came. And I thank you for the way you wear it. With graciousness, with humility, and with godlike leadership. And I bless you. May the double portion that was on Elisha rest on you all the days of your life. Thank you. We're going to do the Lord's Supper together, right? Okay. Please be seated.
The ushers are going to come at this time. We're going to go to the Lord's table and recognize that Jew and Gentile, we're all part of one body in Christ Jesus. And that there's a bond that the Lord has created between Times Square Church and Israel that will not be broken. No matter what public opinion says, we're not governed by public opinion. We're governed by the Word of God and the heart of God. Now, Lord, we thank you for this table we're about to partake of. Thank you, Lord. You broke down every wall of partition. You made us one family and one body. And we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, God, for the redemption of your people, Israel. We ask you, Lord, to hasten that day. For the Apostle Paul said, the regathering again, or the blessing of salvation coming to Israel, will be a blessing to the world that is almost unimaginable to our understanding. Amen. Hasten that day, Lord Jesus Christ. Hasten that day. We ask you to give strength to Pastor Davis and to his wife Karen and to the leadership staff of this wonderful church in Israel. We ask you, Lord, today to bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Give us a compassion one for another and awareness of one another's needs. And the ability, Lord, to reach beyond and care as you do, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you could hold on to the bread and the juice now until everybody's received it, then we'll partake of it together.
Jesus' last Passover in Jerusalem before he was crucified, he told his men, I've greatly desired to eat this Passover with you. They prepared an upper room. They had their Passover meal. And they remembered and they read about coming out of Egypt. But it all points, of course, to the crucifixion and the blood of Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They didn't know it, but he knew it. Now we know it. So he took the bread,
He blessed it. Maybe he said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Blessed are you, Lord God of the universe, who brings forth lechem, ba'aretz, bread from the earth. He's the bread of life. We feed on him. I thank you for this church where we feed on Jesus. Bless us as we break bread together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. With the shedding of his blood, Jesus Christ broke down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. And we became one body, one family. Gentile grafted in by the grace of Almighty God to the blessings of Abraham. Pastor David, I want to just make a public and renewed commitment to you and to the nation of Israel. And it won't be just words, it will be deeds. And God will enable us and show us what to do and how to help and to be there, because by his blood we are one, and I am my brother's keeper. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I love your cards.
This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Hallelujah. And pass your cups to the end of the aisle and get ready to dance. We are going to rejoice before we go today. Remember, we're back at 3 o'clock today, 6 o'clock this evening. And you don't want to miss, 5 minutes of what the Lord's going to do today. Praise God. Let's stand and let's rejoice as we go today. God bless you.